This is Infection, the Survival Podcast, recorded live on Tuesday, November the 16th, 2021, episode 357. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome into another edition of Infection, the Survival Podcast. Infection is your source for the latest information on, well, sometimes survival video games. My name is Nick Craig. You can check me out online at nickcraig.com, and you can download the Wilmington's Morning News Podcast, 3 hours of political dope. That's how I'm going to refer to it, delivered to your device each and every weekday. Of course, I cannot be alone in this endeavor. Joining me as he does each and every week, Brian with an I, Aldrich. Hello, Brian.
Hello, thank you. Let's go and get the contact info out of the way first. At Brian Aldridge on Gab and Parler, and of course my blog, biteoftech.com. But most importantly, go to our website, infectionpodcast.com, and join our Discord server. There's a link for it on the upper right-hand side, and that's a free app. They have a web-based app, mobile app, desktop app, lots of ways that you can do that, and it's totally free for the most of the product. And so if you're interested in that, click it, and you'll be able to submit news to the news channel. We have a lot of different places you can hang out, ARC servers, all kinds of things going on. So if you're interested in communicating with us outside of the show, make sure you jump on Discord. We got a Steam group. We're still trying. Who knows? It doesn't ever send notices. We'll see. If you want to watch the video forms, though, we have a lot of live ways to watch live, and that's Twitch, YouTube, BitChute, and DLive. Now, if you want to listen to it, that'll have to be after the show's done. At the lower right-hand side, we got all those audio forms of the podcast, a lot of different ways to listen and platforms to use. If you are going to be listening, I really encourage you to jump on the particular episode that you're going to be listening to and follow along, because we got links for videos and articles, tweets, whatever it is that's backing up what we're talking about. It's going to be in there. So if you're interested in that, listen. There's a player in there for video and audio, and then you can click on the links and check them out as you go. If you want to support us, there is a support option at the top. And then also infectionpodcast.com/support. You got Prime Gaming Subs, Humble Bundle, Subscribe Star, Amazon. I mean, lots of different ways that you could support the show. And hopefully there will be conventions again where people are willing to stand around each other and we can go to one of those.
I didn't necessarily plan on talking about it, but since you brought it up, PAX East just announced they're going to be having their event. Not only, Brian, are you going to be required to show a vaccine to enter, you will also be required to wear a mask 100% of the time, which, without getting too far into it, seems to negate the whole idea of getting a vaccine in the first place. If everybody's vaccinated, presumably, nobody should be able to get sick from COVID. So not only is there a bullshit vaccine requirement, you've got to wear a stupid mask at the convention, which kind of defeats the entire point of being going around talking, meeting people, and shaking hands, which is what you do at these conventions. So looks like we're probably going to just be doing a Vegas trip next year, Brian, if I were a gambling man, which is known to be the case in Las Vegas. I mean,
if they follow, because the thing is, PAX East is what, the first of the year?
It's at the very beginning of the year, right? It's in like March or April, but it's the Penny Arcade doing it, and I'm sure based on some of their previous statements and comments, the virtue signaling
I have a feeling
is strong.
You know, Boston, probably Seattle will be exactly the same way. And I doubt anything drastic is going to change between now and then. So if, hey, that's the thing. If necessary, we'll go do a Vegas trip. We'll go have fun and play some Pie Gal until everybody seems to figure out what's going on and we can actually walk into places again without having to force vaccines and things on everybody that's helping us.
You know, with that whole thing is I pick one or the other. You want to do a vaccine requirement? Not the biggest fan of it. Okay. But then don't require people to wear masks too. It's like, why require both? Pick one or the other, or don't do a vaccine requirement and require people to wear masks. Pick one.
I think we know why, because the vaccines don't seem to be working. Why have the vaccine requirement in there? If it's not working, why place the requirement and just make, why not make everyone wear masks?
Well, that's
because I don't want to get into it too deep.
We'll get kicked off YouTube. But I just found it interesting that PAX East coming up this year will require both. So we're definitely not doing PAX East. Maybe we'll do another event, or if not, I guess we'll have a couple grand.
Hey, there may be, that's, they may open the door to another event, you know, that is going to happen, because if there could be a lot of issues. Yeah, we'll do an infection. I mean, our Las Vegas trip will become the infection. Yeah, infect your friends. Come to Vegas.
Yeah, we can. I'm sure we can rent a ballroom in a Motel 6 or a extended stay in and have a nice little event. Some hot hors d'oeuvres for our listeners. Yeah, we can have a host our own little convention. A Q&A panel with Brian and Nick, and it's just your wife and a couple of our friends. I mean, what could possibly go wrong?
It would be great. It would
be great. All right, moving on to some news. Got an email from, we're on the, you know, Brian, we're kind of a big deal. We're on the press release list for a lot of big companies, Valve being one of them. Not everybody's allowed on that list. Got an email earlier in the week. Actually, it would have been late last week now that I think about it, that the Steam Deck, which was anticipated to start shipping in late this year, supposed to be out around the holiday for the people that first got in. And I believe they had it up to spring of 2022. They had like batches that you could reserve. So they had like their first batch. Yeah. Those people would get theirs by Christmas. The second batch, early 2022. The third batch, spring or early summer, whatever it was going to be. Well, Valve made an announcement earlier this week that their Steam Deck product, which is their new handheld, their Nintendo Switch, it's not even a competitor, but a Nintendo Switch-esque device, that they will not begin shipping in January due to the, quote, global supply chain issues. And the first units... Yeah, global.
You mean the California coast? Is that our...
apparently.
Global supply chain issues?
And now the first units will not be shipping until February. Meaning that if you're in that reservation queue, if you didn't get in the first round and you got in the second, third, or fourth round... You very well might not be seeing this device until the late summer, the end of 2022, or even the beginning of 23 at this rate.
Short of any other issues, too.
Yeah, exactly. So they said in their press release.
And this is something we discussed last week. You know, there's a danger in them just saying, oh, we're going to switch components to something that's more available.
Yeah.
That's not, I'd rather have them delay it than switch to something that's not tested, because they've been testing. I'm sure they've been testing this for a while.
Well, they've got units in production. They've got units.
That's what I'm saying. They have units that are running, so they can actually catch some of these hardware failures. Like, for instance, the Xbox, you know, 360's Ring of Death that they probably should have caught in you know, production and testing. That I would rather not have that here, because I have an Xbox 360 in the garage that barely got used because the thing got a Ring of Death, and I just never did anything with it. That would be one thing that would put a nail in the coffin of this product, is if it had those kind of issues. But maybe, you know, they're not so hard set on the hardware of it, right? But the software of it, if they can't get this device to take off, other manufacturers aren't going to make it, and that could be the end of the device in general.
So they said in their press release, based on our updated build estimates, Steam Deck will start shipping to customers in February of 2022. This will be the new start date of the reservation queue. All reservation holders keep their place in lines, but dates will shift back accordingly. Reservation date estimates will be updated shortly after this announcement. So looking at the website now for the Steam Deck device in terms of when are these things potentially going to be available, as they say right now, Brian, for all of the units after quarter two. That could be quarter three. That could also be quarter four. That could also be quarter one of 2023. So after quarter two of 2022 is when, if you haven't already reserved one of these, is the, again, after quarter two, I don't even know what the hell that means. I mean, it's not even a range. Just put late 2022.
Before the summer is pretty much what they're saying.
Yeah, exactly. So late 2022, holiday season 2022, and... folks that jumped in early will get their units allegedly sometime. They'll begin shipping in February, which kind of sucks for Valve on a number of fronts. The big one being that they're going to kind of miss this holiday rush. And imagine this, Brian. Yeah. You're a parent that knows your kid is a gamer. Maybe you went in and got one of these early reservations December of 2021, and you were going to just print out a picture of it and say, hey, little Johnny, this thing will be showing up in the mail in the next couple of weeks. And now you've got a little record scratch, and maybe, you know, my birthday's in February, Brian. So maybe somebody's got one for me, but most people probably want their Christmas gifts in Christmas and not most likely February or March of next year. So they're going to miss out on this holiday season, which is a big, big deal.
Well, I'm really interested in seeing how this holiday season is going to be. Because
a disaster.
I don't know that everybody even understands the level of the shipping crisis and all that, it's going to have. Usually they're loading things, you know, a month or whatever beforehand for Black Friday and getting all that stock in place. And then they mass sell it, you know, in a couple of days. I'll be interested to see how many stores are going to have a ton of product to do those kind of sales and how much is going to be truly limited. It makes me a little bit nervous, you know, still it's a year and what later, and there's Xboxes that are still not on shelves.
Well, that's
incredible to me.
Well, let's transition real quick over to PlayStation. I don't know if you saw this announcement this week, Brian, but Sony announced that due to component shortages and issues with components, that they have adjusted what they're planning on selling in terms of, how many units they plan on producing in the 2022 fiscal year. They were planning on making about 16 million units. They've had to adjust that number to 15 million units next year. While that might not sound like a big number, a million units out of 16 million is not a small portion. And for a device that is already incredibly hard to get, cutting a million more units out of production is going to continue to follow this trend. And that's that. So you're not going to, there are going to be potentially a million less PlayStations 5s on store shelves next year, which is a lot. That's right,
which
now. That's their estimates.
And that's a big hit. You know, that's a hit to their bottom line, which affects their stock price, which affects,
they don't make money on the hardware.
Consumer confidence. I think for here, they're going to be in a tougher place because they don't offer a lot of options for alternatives to playing on an actual PlayStation. They want you to play. They have PS Now, and they have some things, but it's not really something that encourages you and makes it easy to go and play a PlayStation game when you don't have a PlayStation.
It's not integrated, I believe, is probably the word to use.
But Microsoft, on the other hand, I think they've been setting themselves up perfectly. Let's talk about them here for another couple minutes.
Yeah, what you got?
And then we've got another thing for Sony that we'll go back to. So one thing I saw today that was really interesting is the Xbox Game Pass. That was originally intended as a rental service.
You remember Gamefly?
They didn't. Yes, I used to. I didn't use Gamefly, but I thought about it.
I used ones
that were streaming. Well, I didn't use the ones where you had to mail stuff back and forth. I used the ones where you would rent digitally. But I was playing on PC, not on console.
Gotcha. Okay.
They had similar things back in the day. Like I remember, I signed up for Steam and all that. There was another one that was similar, and it was a game service like that where you would pay a fee and they had access to a ton of games. And I don't remember the name of it off the top of my head now. But that was one that was happening then. You look at Microsoft now, and they probably figured, well, we did all this work. It makes it to where we can, you know, give them access to it and revoke access to things. You know, that's pretty much what the Game Pass is. They have a service where if you pay a subscription, you have access to it, you stop paying the service. And in the end, I bet you they make a lot. I mean, they probably have calculated out the numbers, but I bet you they make a lot more money off this Game Pass than they would have done with any kind of a rental service. Service where maybe you're renting an individual game for what? It's just
I'm trying to remember. I think
I just don't see it taking off.
This is probably
bingo, boom, shakalaka.
Hello, UGX Vibe. Thank you for the resubscription. We're going back at least a decade. Gamefly. I want to say it was $12, maybe $14 a month or something like that, and you could have one game at a time. So while it was great if you got a game, played through it real quick and mailed it back. But you know, holding onto a game for more than 2 months was useless because you could have practically bought the game at that point.
I've got it pulled up what the prices were. So a 3 month introductory offer was that you get one game or movie at a time for $9 a month.
Sounds right.
And I don't know how recent this is. And then they have another one where you could have two games at a time for $14 a month. So you got to think that in the end, it's not really that great of a deal compared to what you're getting with Game Pass, where you can install them all and play them just as if you own them all. I mean, that's the thing, is you feel like you own them. You're not having to check in and check out games like a rental service.
So looking at Game Pass, as you mentioned, now these numbers are from August of 2020. so over a year ago. It says, since the release, this is from Microsoft, since the release of Game Pass in June of 2017, it has boosted Xbox revenue to an all-time high of $11.57 billion.
Wow.
They're claiming that just in the fiscal year 2020 alone, just in 2020, Xbox content and services generated nearly $1 billion.
There you go.
So that would be between Xbox, that's Xbox content and services, not games, not consoles,
in a year
hardware.
When it's almost impossible to buy an Xbox, a new Xbox. That's incredible. And that shows you they have managed to somehow, by luck, I think, and they did work to get it here, but the timing, I think, was by luck.
Yeah.
It could not have been better for them. It set them up perfectly. It's kind of like I've talked about with people I've talked about on here, you know, that whole Taco Bell versus Taco Time thing. I think, Taco Time. That was luck for the Taco Bell. You know, it made it to where they're way bigger and nobody knows who Taco Time is anymore. This is the same type of thing where you have it. This was perfect for them. They don't even need an Xbox to play all these games. Most of them are, you can play them on your phone. They offer streaming services. They made it to where the console matters less and less and less, which I think is going to be incredibly important in the future.
Yeah, no question about it. So that's the first time I've heard anything like that. I can't imagine that a rental service would have been lucrative for, but again, you go back, Game Pass has been out since 2017. So this idea started maybe floating around in potentially as early as what, 2012, 2014. And that was a different era. You weren't streaming games.
That was the transition to Netflix, right? Yeah. That was going from the old mailing of things back and forth, which was what, you know, Gamefly does.
Yep.
To a system where it's all digital, and they match that net. They've kind of pretty much matched the Netflix model. If you look 100%. At it,
yeah.
Why not? I mean, it's incredibly, they're the top video streaming service in the world, right? Probably
paid streaming service.
Yeah. Why not match the one? And they want to be a paid gaming streaming service, or, you know, paid gaming subscription. They matched them, and man, that worked. And I think that it's going to continue to work. So they put out, they did have done some updates to the Xbox Game Pass, and they actually made a video, which I thought, you know, usually they don't do an informative video for these things. But let's play that really quick, because there's a number of things they're adding. And I figure, you know, people who aren't subscribed to it might be interested in learning it a little bit more.
Hi, I'm Megan Spurr, community lead for Xbox Game Pass. In today's PC Community Update, we're back to talk to you about the Xbox experience on Windows. Since we launched Xbox Game Pass for PC and the Xbox app in 2019, which feels precisely sometime between 9 minutes and 87 years ago, we've made a lot of updates to the app. We've made it easier for you to find games that are coming and leaving soon, not to mention stocked the thing full of amazing games and made the download experience more reliable for all PC games, including a whole bunch that arrived on day one with Game Pass for PC. That's a subtle plug there. Today we're talking to Jason Beaumont, Partner Director of Experiences with Xbox, about some of the updates Xbox Insiders will be able to test in the Xbox app on PC and what you can expect in the future. Jason, welcome back. It's been a minute since we've talked about the Xbox app and Game Pass.
Yeah, it's great to see you again.
So tell me a little bit about the updates that people are going to be able to test soon in the Xbox app with Xbox Insiders.
As you might know, we had some legacy systems we were working with. We had UWP games and all this stuff around delivery and installation. We made significant improvements to those systems. You know, they were leading to some challenges for PC gamers with just updating their apps, downloading, installing, and especially modding games. We've been listening to the feedback from everyone on what would make gaming even better with the app, and we're excited to roll out these foundational updates out to all of our players soon.
So what's the first thing that we're going to notice?
We want you to be able to choose where your games install.
So uncomfortable.
Soon,
this
Xbox
is not a genuine conversation.
Testing out, selecting what drive your game installs.
Well, this is our community manager,
too. Where your default folder goes within that drive. They'll also find that download speeds of those games have improved over time, so it's even easier and faster to get to your next game.
That's awesome.
One of the biggest changes you're going to find, and I know you mod a lot of games, Megan, is that soon, for many games with an Xbox Game Pass, you'll have access to your local
She's a big modder, I'm sure.
To edit your game files, move your files, etc.
Shout out to the person who made the Mass Effect mod that turns all fonts into Comic Sans, by the way.
That wasn't going to be the first mod that I chose. But in the Xbox app, you can look at the game details and you'll see if a game is moddable.
Huge shout out and a big thank you to our Xbox insiders who will be testing these new updates. If you want to scope out the new updates and share your feedback before they release, join the Xbox insiders now. We'll put a link in the description for more details on how to join. But let's talk about another big update. I think more of our PC gamers with Xbox Game Pass Ultimate are going to be impacted by this one, and that's cloud gaming.
Yeah, when you launch the app now, you'll see cloud gaming.
This is a really cool experience for a lot of people. Check out my cloud gaming
walkthrough. You don't need an Xbox?
You'll see a link in the description below.
You can't get an Xbox?
Essentially, Ultimate members now have access to play almost instantly the Xbox Game Pass library of cloud-enabled console games from within the Xbox app on PC.
Exactly. This is great if you just can't get your hands on one of the new consoles. And want to
check out. That's a huge library of streaming games.
Now, hold on a second. I need to pull this back because He just said exactly what the issue was. Hold on.
Get your hands on one of the new consoles and want to check out the great library of console games we have in Xbox Game Pass.
And for people with older PCs.
Or don't have a gaming PC at all.
Or if you're on a work machine and playing games instead of listening to a meeting that should have just been an email.
Yeah, I admit nothing.
But seriously, it's also great if you're on PC, but your friends are playing on console. Mm-hmm. This makes it really easy to play together.
I've got one more thing to point out that isn't necessarily in the Xbox app, but I think for our early adopters of Windows 11 this month, they may want to know. Ooh. As you might know, with Windows 11, Microsoft implemented Auto HDR, a really cool feature that takes a lot of older games that weren't built with HDR and moves them automatically into high dynamic range.
I've been going back and checking out some games, and it's crazy what a difference it makes.
You're right, but what some people might find is that they want to play without HDR, or maybe that HDR is just too much for certain games. That's where an update to Xbox Game Bar comes in. We have a widget in Game Bar that will let you toggle HDR on or off. Or you can use an intensity slider to change how intense the HDR is within your game.
I absolutely love that. I can totally see if you're feeling some nostalgia games and you want to go back and play, but the HDR just doesn't hit right with those games, so you just want to customize your gameplay experience. Now let's talk about some of the updates that are still coming this year or later next year.
We're continuously working on updates for the Xbox app and Xbox Game Pass for PC. We'll continue to bash the bugs as we find them, but we have some things coming up that people will be excited about. First up is we're continuing to improve performance of the app, making it more reliable to download and play your games. We're absolutely not done yet. We keep listening to your feedback and work behind the scenes to make it even better. Next, we're reducing the friction for developers to bring their games and implement game features like cross-saves, achievements, and other benefits of our platforms. And we're making plugins for common engines like Unity and Unreal. Finally, we're still innovating. We're going to keep working to make this a great gaming platform for all PC gamers.
We're all super excited to see the work being done by the team. My very last question, though, is what are you playing now?
I'm playing Psychonauts 2 right now. It's absolutely wonderful.
All right.
Okay, I don't care. So, first of all, where the hell's Phil Spencer, right? I mean, I thought he was the Xbox guy. Why is he not out here doing this? Why do they have some? Why do they have two individuals who...
I mean, just remember what he did when it was like, Windows 95 was it? When he was up there screaming and yelling about Windows 95?
That's Steve Ballmer. Phil Spencer's the Xbox guy.
Oh, Steve Ballmer. Okay.
Yeah, no.
Oh,
Phil Spencer's is the Xbox guy. I'm not sure why he didn't do it.
He's more normal, right? I haven't seen him do anything too crazy. Well,
he's a great follow on Twitter if you're looking for gaming stuff.
Nice.
So, some interesting features coming to this. Brian, I guess I need to go ahead and get Game Pass Ultimate. And fortunately,
yeah,
I don't have to pay for it because I use Bing as my search engine and I have 130,000 points to spend on the Microsoft Store. And let me tell you, if I head on over to the Microsoft Store right now, Brian, I can get 3 months of Game Pass Ultimate for 3,500 points, 35,000 points.
Oh, that's nice.
That's very nice.
And that's a good deal. I mean, if you look at what you get in the Game Pass, it's just, it's becoming a better and better deal. And look at, I've said this before, I know, it seems like they're really transitioning away from that particular piece of hardware you have to own to play. And they've got the streaming service, which could be on a streaming device with a controller hooked up, right? That could be a light. It's similar to what streams your Netflix or any of those other streaming services. You could have a little device like that, and it's the equivalent of an Xbox. You can hook your controllers to it and everything. They can still sell some hardware, but you're not reliant on all this hardware shortage, and you're using a fraction of the parts to make the thing. And I think that that's going to be big. Plus, they're building, they're making it to where Windows 11 is going to have all the capabilities pretty much of the Xbox built in. And it's going to be, you know, you can launch the Xbox app and it's like you're in an Xbox running it and you can launch games. I see them getting away from that dedicated hardware. They have already made their hardware more PC-like. And I think we're seeing that play out when all these games are easily now were Xbox exclusives that are also Xbox and PC now. I just think that they've realized with this, they need to get away from hardware, which they weren't making money on anyways. Maybe accessories you make money on, but you don't make, you know, a $60 controller you can make money on, but you don't make money that much on a $299 Xbox Series S.
It's not even you don't make money. In a lot of cases, this was for the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. They were losing money on the consoles for a long time until they sold so many units where the R&D cost was dealt with. Yeah, because the goal is, well, at least in, they still do it. You get people to pay for Xbox Live Gold and PS Gold or whatever the hell it's called. You get them to pay for that. You skim something off the top of every transaction that's done on the platform. So DLCs, game downloads, things of that nature. I would assume on retail copies, Microsoft has to take something from that. If it's in an Xbox box, they're taking something.
Because there's licensing fees just to be on Xbox.
I'm sure publishers
and everything else. I think they're going to be transitioning to more of a publisher, distributor. I mean, they already are that. But I think that they've realized that going and being that for the video game world, because it doesn't matter where you play it now. If they can stream, you could play, hypothetically, not that they'll ever do it, but you could play Xbox on a PlayStation if they install the app. PlayStation is never going to add the app, but you could probably do it in a browser. If they have one that's Chromium based, that should work. I actually tried installing a thing on this, and it was pretty, like, it would let me do exclusive on, because I tried it in the Edge browser on there, and then I tried streaming something, and they let you do exclusive controller mode in the Edge browser on an Xbox. So like they give you a lot of ways to actually play inside your browser on an Xbox, which means you could do the exact same thing in a regular browser. You know, if you take a Chromium based browser, all the plugins are that.
I need to whip out my Wii. And no, I'm not talking about anything else. I'm talking about my Nintendo Wii and play with and load up the browser on that I'm sure is not HTML5 compatible. And play with the little Wii controller. Try to do a little game passing with that. I bet you that would be joyful.
I'm sure that would be a mess. I still have the Wii U. I mean, that thing.
So do I. The thing dragged. Actually, that's not true. The Wii U is the only possession I own that I did not bring when I moved to North Carolina. Actually, brought it down at this point. It's in my closet. Yeah, it's finally down here. It wasn't here for the garage this time. Yeah. At one point, my mother's like, I'm throwing this thing away or... you can take it. And I was like, all right, I just bring it next time you guys come down here. Because I didn't want it.
I can understand. It's just not the same. And it was a unique concept. But you can do the same thing with phones now. And you could do it many other ways. And especially with other devices like Valve, you know, and them releasing the Steam Deck, they can do all those same things that they were doing on the Wii U.
Yeah.
And now. And the same thing with the Switch. You can do all those things. It was just a big clunky, but you got to think, if this is what, 10 years ago?
No, that was not really popular. Quite that long, because the Wii came out in 2006.
Maybe 8 years ago or something like
that. Yeah. Well, typical for Nintendo, when they always try weird stuff and see if it works. In the case of the Wii, it worked. In the case of the Wii U, it did not. I think the Wii outsold the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3. I'm almost positive. I don't believe it's outsold the PlayStation 2, which is the best-selling console ever. But it might be right behind the PS2. They sold a metric boatload of those units.
Yeah. Well, one other thing about Microsoft is they're pushing out the Windows 11 update that actually solves a lot of the AMD performance problems, which for you, are you running Intel or AMD?
AMD. I know you're running Windows 11. Ryzen something or other.
So I bet you that after this, you'll probably have a lot better performance. We have a video that talks about it where they go through the things that they fixed. But mainly, I'll say what they are saying in the video. They've resolved the L3 caching issue. They resolve the lock screen appearing black, the search not appearing on second monitor, start and task bars not working as expected. And then they've been working on the performance and print related issues. And then in this patch, that should be fixed. Because if you look at their Windows 11 update recommend, you know, checker, that was saying if you had a ton of AMD chips that they weren't compatible. And so this should be fixing that. And you know, this will be a big deal because AMD is a huge part of the market. And I wasn't ready to try installing it just because I didn't want to have issues when it kept saying that there were performance issues on, and I didn't want to find out if my chip was one of the ones that barely worked.
Yeah.
But I think now you'll start seeing people adopting it because there'll be, but still that built-in chip that you have to have, I have one around here somewhere.
TPM2.
The TPM chip has to be a 2. Whatever TPM chip. A lot of the older computers have 1.2. There's a lot of limitations to this current test. And so I think once they start removing those limitations and letting people just install it, then we'll see what kind of bugs there really are. But with such a limited test window of people that have very specific hardware that can actually test this, I don't think we see all the bugs yet. You know, I think they need to really open it up and just let people run it once they feel like the performance is right.
They're not going to get rid of the TPM2 requirement. That's just part of their platform now. But I've been
To have some of the features that they're wanting to have, because we've discussed, remember, they want to lock down the file system. They want to make it to where they can control tightly, partly for anti-cheat, antivirus, all these things. Like, there's a good reason they want to get this encryption going so you can't tamper with files and everything.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be difficult for a lot of people because there's so much old hardware that just doesn't have those things.
Exactly. Well, cool. I checked today. I'm running the most recent version of Windows 11. So all is good.
Hopefully. Here. Tuesdays they usually put a patch out. Did they put any?
I don't know.
If
they,
today?
I don't think Patch Tuesday's a thing anymore. I think that was.
Did they skip that?
Leftover from the XP days. I don't know that they're patching every Tuesday like they used to.
But let's see when that comes out. I'd be interested to see if you notice a difference. If you can tell that there's actually a performance difference, or if it's just like, you know, maybe crashes that aren't happening or something.
Yeah, I didn't notice an issue right away.
Because you said Ryzen, right? Did you have a Ryzen?
Yeah, I've got a Ryzen chip.
And this is specific. This bug is specific. One of the things specific for is the Ryzen chip. So you may actually notice it.
Yeah. So what I will say is, I've got a Ryzen 9 3900X. I did play the Battlefield beta right when Windows 11 came out and didn't have any issues with that. That was probably the most taxing thing I've done.
Yeah.
My GPU, obviously my illustrious GTX 1070 that is humming away, was most likely my bottleneck, but I haven't had any big performance issues. I mean, right now we're doing the show and doing all this stuff right here. And as I look at my task manager, my CPU is sitting at a whopping 25%. So I'm not necessarily, hitting it hard 24/7. So we'll see.
Let's move on here really quick. So, let's go back to Sony quickly, just because we did touch on them. The PS5 has had its root keys uncovered, and so there's a possibility there will be a jailbreak for the PS5 here soon.
That's interesting.
A jailbreak means that you can copy games, install games that aren't properly licensed.
It means that you could run a custom firmware that would not check things like DRM and things of that nature.
So that you would have the ability to install games and it would not, as Nick said, check the licensing and it would let you install and play whatever you would like. So this is something that also is a limitation of hardware like this. These things, they're putting these hardware out there with code and drivers and everything else. They have to put these somewhere until they come up with another way to secure this. This has happened with every single console that they put out. You know, with all the Xboxes, there's been a way for you to put a chip in it and to install games without the licensing. Yeah, it's just, this has been a thing. And getting away from the hardware is probably the only way to get around it. Getting where you're streaming things or coming up with other ways. I don't know how big of an issue it is now, but it used to be with the Xbox 360s. There was a lot of people putting chips in those.
Yeah.
And I don't know about the PlayStations, but this is, I don't know how much this, I don't know how much it's going to affect them right now. I don't know how many people are really out there playing on PlayStation 5s. I don't hear a lot about it. I don't hear a lot. I've not seen one yet from anybody. But this could be a big deal, depending on what all it unlocks and allows them to do. So just thought people would be interested in that. But we'll see if that starts to actually result in anything later.
Let's.
Do you have a preference where we go?
Yeah, I do, actually, which yeah. I don't often, but I do, because this has been a saga that we've been following for quite some time. Activision Blizzard, all hell's been breaking loose over there. They somebody recently resigned, and they named their first ever woman to co-head Blizzard Entertainment. Her name was Jennifer O'Neill. She was in that position for 60 days, maybe. Maybe not even 90 days, some very small
not very
amount
not
of time.
Not very long at all.
And I think it was last week we covered that she reported that she was stepping down. And now we have got some more information about it, Brian. She is now claiming that she resigned due to being tokenized.
Yes. Marginalized and discriminated against.
So on the first claim of tokenization. Hold on.
She's the co-person, though, right? On this, she's like the co-leader of the company.
Yes. But hold on a second. I want to talk about this claim tokenized. Of course she was tokenized. They only gave her that position because she was a woman. Because of all this backlash.
Okay. She's a woman. She checks off multiple boxes. And I think she realized this after she got in there. She's, first of all, a woman. She is Asian. And she's Asian American, but, you know, that culture, and then she's gay. So she chucked off all three of those boxes.
That's why they gave her the job.
They hired me because I'm a woman, I'm an Asian American, and I'm gay. That's the reason, you know, okay. They probably just had her sitting in an office and not really making any decisions. She's probably like, this sucks. I'm here because check, check, check. That's pretty much it. And I think for her, I guess there's been a lot of people saying they demand that the CEO, the other CEO, Bobby Kotick?
Yes.
That he resign.
Of course. They've been calling for his resignation for a year.
Oh, but they've upped it, and they've been doing walkouts. Now, let's show those really quick, because they, if you look here, there were more supposed shocking revelations.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And now they're doing more walkouts. So this is Bobby Kotick. He said he once told an assistant, they're saying he once told an assistant he was going to have her killed.
That's a little Joe Scarborough going on there, right? Wasn't Joe Scarborough on MSNBC one that was found with a dead intern in his office? It's a little Joe Scarborough there. I'm almost positive when he was a senator. Yeah, that's great.
So that's kind of I figured they were trying to force him out so he would be the only leader.
If a boss threatens to have you murdered, don't you think you should kind of contact the police or something?
Yeah.
You would think. That seems like it'd be a pretty serious threat and allegation.
Now, what if he, because there are people that say,
Apparently he left a voicemail in 2006 threatening to have this lady killed. Now, I'll say a couple of things. Yeah. First of all, there should be. Apparently there was a voicemail.
There'd be a voicemail, yeah.
So if you received a voicemail that your boss was going to murder you and you don't call the police, then you're an idiot. And second of all, why is this coming out now? This is from 2006.
Yeah. Oh, well, now that there's a possibility of money. And that's the thing is if at that time someone threatens your life and you don't say a word, or at least keep a little evidence. I mean, if he threatens your life, you have a voicemail. Save the voicemail, for goodness sakes, because it might come back to help you a little bit later. Here, I want to read what she said, because she emailed an Activision lawyer to announce that she was going to be resigning. And here's what she said. It was clear that the company would never prioritize our people the right way. Now,
the hell's that mean?
Women, gay people, Asian Americans, who is our?
What does our people mean? That seems like a pretty bigoted statement, if you ask me.
Yeah, imagine if you said, "Well, our people, you know, believe this." When you're talking to, that just would not. It doesn't go over well.
No, not at all.
But she said that they would never prioritize our people the right way, alleging she had been sexually harassed earlier in her career at Activision. And now she's what? Second in command of the company? Okay.
First in command. Her and the other guy were heads of the studio.
Yes. Yeah. Top of the food chain. Yeah. And that she was paid less than her male co-head, Mike Ybarra. I have been tokenized, marginalized, discriminated against. Now, how long did she work there? Just because you get paid less than somebody when you go to a company, it could be because they've worked there 5 years longer than you, 10 years longer than you, and each year they get a raise. When you walk in, doesn't mean you immediately get the pay of everyone else around you. It's based on your qualifications, your experience, and how long you've been working at the company for a lot of times.
Let me say this.
That determines your pay.
I don't know anything about this lady, and I don't intend to sit here and defame her character. But this to me, Brian, just illustrates the fact that it's just never enough. She was promoted to the co-head of Blizzard. Blizzard and Activision is the largest Western video game publisher, developer, and company in the entire Western hemisphere.
Yeah.
And she was promoted to top control, co-head of the studio. And that, I guess, was not enough for her, so she quit.
So, I mean, she had the opportunity to make all these changes. She's saying, early in my career, this and this happened. Well, how do you change that? As co-leader, you have the ability to make many more changes than any other way, especially outside of the company like you are now. I mean, if you truly were going in there to make a difference, wouldn't being just because you're frustrated about things that happened in the past, wouldn't that be your encouragement to then change it in the future? She's taken herself out of the game totally. Now, you know, if there's crazy things happening now, but I'm just not getting that from her statement. You know, she said very generic things, our people and all this. And then she talks about things that happened 10 years ago plus. So what happened today that made you step away from the company? And I don't get that out of what she's saying.
I don't like the term tokenized specifically, because in this instance, the claims from the employees were that they wanted individuals like Jennifer O'Neill promoted. So they promoted her, gave her the co-head position of Blizzard Entertainment, and now she's claiming that she's been tokenized.
Well, or is it possible that she wasn't qualified for the job? She got in there and then found that it was overwhelming and she didn't have the ability to do it. That's another possibility.
Who knows? All I know is that I don't.
When you're put in a position not by actually working your way there, and you're put in there because, as she said, you're tokenized, that could be very hard. She may not have the qualifications to do it.
But isn't what tokenization? Isn't that what the groups like the folks that have been walking out of places like Blizzard, Activision, like Riot, like Netflix? Isn't that what they're fighting for? They're fighting for tokenization. No.
Well, they
say you need to promote people.
They don't want to be.
Yeah, but they say you need to promote people that fit X, Y, and Z criteria. So by definition, you are tokenizing those people, no?
Yes, but they won't admit it.
So what's the problem?
But that's truly what they're doing to the core is, we need to put this person in this position so that they check this box. Oh, she's great. She checks three boxes all in one. That means we don't have to fire three separate employees to get that. This is the thinking. And this is what's really pushed away from the white male, because they don't check any of boxes. And that's why you don't want to hire them. It's just, it's a crazy thing. And it leads to things like this, where she gets in there and realizes she's probably just up there, not really doing anything, or she's overwhelmed because she's not qualified. I mean, there could be other reasons, because she didn't really give a real reason for leaving today.
Yeah.
Tokenized. She just talked about, we're being marginalized. Okay. You're the one who could change that. Oh, we're being tokenized. You're the one that could change that. Not anymore. Right. You left the company.
Unbelievable.
Or step down.
Yeah, this whole I think I said this last week. It may have been a couple of weeks ago. I am still convinced that Blizzard is going to crumble. I don't see any other way about it. This company is in an absolute free fall. They've been having walkouts and protests for the better part of a year. They keep we've covered this in the past, and it doesn't seem it matters what they do. The woke mob doesn't ever seem to be satisfied.
Okay, well, let's talk about that woke mob for a second. So we've got now, as of 5 hours ago, Activision Blizzard employees are staging a walkout demanding his removal.
They did this 3 months ago, 6 months ago.
And so here's their tweet. let me make sure. Yeah. So they said, we have instituted our zero tolerance policy. We will not be silenced until Bobby Kotick has been replaced as CEO and continue to hold our original demands for third-party review by an employee chosen source. We're staging a walkout today. We welcome you to join us. There's no way that you would have a review by a third, an employee chosen source, because then you could hire whoever you want to say whatever you want. That's not how it works. You have someone who's unbiased, which is what they were doing originally, is having a board that looked at these things. A third party review chosen by the employee, that could be anybody who's willing to agree with you.
So here is the statement from by the way, Activision Blizzard is a publicly traded company. So this idea that their employees have any say over this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But their board of directors put out a statement and said, under Bobby Kotick's leadership, the company has already implemented industry-leading changes, including a zero-tolerance harassment policy, good, a dedication to achieving significant increases to the percentages of women and non-binary people in our workforce. They promoted a woman to be second in charge of Blizzard, and significant internal and external investments to accelerate opportunities for diverse talent. Brian, they promoted somebody to be diverse talent. She couldn't work in the job for more than 60 days before she quit.
Yeah.
So what the hell does that even mean? They did exactly what the claim, what this group of people protesting and walking out want. And it wasn't enough. So she quit. And now now she can go, give speeches about how awful and terrible Blizzard
is. Yeah, she should do a tour and write a book.
Yeah, it's just, it's bullshit. Frankly, I don't understand this at all.
And I just think it's going to, for them, it's going to get worse and worse. And the result, one thing that they've been talking about in chat here a little bit, but Roblox is now, the company is worth more than Activision Blizzard. They passed them in value. You were wrong. They recently, I'm going to pull up this tweet really quick, but this is Bloxy News. And they say, Bloxy News. I mean, your source for Roblox News. The Roblox Corporation has officially overtaken Activision Blizzard as the most valuable gaming company in the United States.
Damn.
Roblox is the most valuable gaming company in the United States. Out of nowhere, they've snuck up on it, but just by selling things to little kids. Who do you know that plays Roblox anymore? That's not a kid. I know my kids play Roblox, not me. They don't even play it anymore, really.
Do you have an account?
I think I probably have one. I have one that's created, but I don't have it installed anywhere.
I've never played Roblox.
I played it. I installed it when I was dating my now wife. Just to, have to see what the kids and have something in common with them.
Hello, fellow children. Steve Buscemi with the skateboard.
Yeah. So this is amazing. And if you look at what they've done, is they have created pretty much a mod platform that lets everyone else do the work for them. They create the thing that I've been begging for in other platforms that's more adult oriented, but create a system where people can mod into it easily and let them create their games. That's what they do. And that's the biggest gaming company in the United States. We need to have another company do it and make something for adults. Because if you make one for adults, that's how a lot of these games got created, with Arma. We need it. And it's sad that we don't have anything like that right now, because I think there's a lot of game modes that aren't being discovered because your average person doesn't have the ability to make a game. And here they make it simple, kids can make games.
I'm looking at Activision Blizzard right now, their stock price, they are trading at the lowest number that they've traded in well over 12 months. They're at $66 a share. They're down 6% today.
Yeah. Well, might be worth buying. Well, I don't know. If it's gone up in value, I don't know. That kind of makes you, it's a gamble.
I don't think it's a gamble at all. I absolutely do not think it's a gamble. I don't see a solution forward for Blizzard besides them firing every single person that works for the company and allow a bunch of idiots to try and run it. And then they'll figure out, oh crap, we have no idea what we're doing. And then the company will just fall into peril. Because Brian, that's the inevitable here. The goal is to just oust everybody that has any idea what they're doing and
replace them with people that check all the boxes. It's no longer based on qualifications. It's based on, what box you check. And that will take down a company. Actually, that is taking down a company. What we've been saying for us a couple of years now is if they keep doing these practices, you're going to end up with a company that falls apart because it doesn't have the people that are qualified to continue maintaining the products that they have or producing the level of products that they currently have. And what's been happening with Activision Blizzard? They're falling apart and they can't create games that are stable anymore.
Blizzard part. Blizzard part is falling apart. Activision is still doing all
Blizzard
right.
part.
Blizzard is a debacle.
All the Blizzard stuff has been, their Overwatch is going downhill. WoW is going downhill. Their products are losing players and they're not bringing new things out in them that are bringing people back to it or, you know, bringing in new people. I just think they're in a really tough time, and I don't know that I bet you that they'll change names or their products will be folded in under someone else on something else. I see no hints of them coming out with a new WoW.
They need to dissolve Blizzard. They need to dissolve Blizzard and just turn it into Activision.
Yeah. Well,
so
that's the thing though. Do they want to bring in all those Blizzard people? I can't imagine that they want to bring in the Blizzard people. Yeah, but they can give them their own rules. Do you want to bring in all those people that brought down a whole company?
Yeah, I have no idea. All I know is that whatever's going on at Blizzard right now is not sustainable for any sort of company.
No.
And the constant nonsense. And, you know, and I've mentioned this in the past, and I'll just say it again so that I don't sound like a complete disingenuous douchebag. Are some of these claims of misconduct and harassment at the workplace true? Absolutely. There's no question about it. I think every company. Now, it's not justifying it, but I think this is a thing that happens at every company. So the board, as well as Bobby Kotick, have put in measures, a zero tolerance policy and things of this nature to try and circumvent prior issues. Yep. And even with all of this, it's just not enough. I just don't see how they go forward.
Yeah, I think they're in a very tough spot, and it'll be interesting to see over the next year whether or not they figure it out and they start to improve again, or if it just turns into a big, you know, that pretty much the company has to figure out how in the world do we save the couple products that are still have people playing them.
Yeah. Well, speaking of trying to turn things around, Brian, we covered a story last week about Amazon's flagship game, New Worlds, and some of the issues going on with the economy in the game. There have been many questions about the rarity of products, people complaining that the products are too rare, other folks claiming they're not rare enough. And as of yesterday, Amazon Games has switched off the entire economy for the MMO after players discovered yet another duping glitch. So the entire economy for an MMO, which is, I don't want to talk out of my depth here, Brian, but I assume the economy portion of an MMO is pretty important, a pretty integral part of the game. Yeah.
Well, exactly. There are people that play these type of games just for the economy. They are gaming the system when it comes to the auction house. You know, it's its own little game in itself. Plus,
it's a micro game.
You're working. Yeah, you're working to get resources so that you can purchase materials for raiding, for armor. That is a huge part of this. The economy pretty much is what an MMO like this consists of. There are things that you do to get resources to be able to play, and it's all about the resources. Here, they did. I understand them taking it down because they're trying to prevent the system being flooded with dupes and just all kinds of problems and having something that you can't recover from, because we've seen it in other games where it gets overloaded and then things are worthless because this item that usually is very valuable, there's a million of them now and they're not worth anything, and that throws off the whole balance. But if you look at what they were saying, though, because they've been putting in things to block this and try to prevent, you know, of course, shutting that down. But they stated that most of their, so 98% of the dupe items have been recovered, I guess, or deleted. Yeah, so they've been going through and purging these things. They currently have gotten 98% of them purged from the economy. They banned, you know, over 1,660 exploiters that were doing it. I mean, they're doing what they can. This is going to be continue. This is a brand new platform. There's people that are sitting here probably trying to mess with this all day long, trying to figure out any of these bugs. This will take a while, I think, to kind of balance out and for them to get all these big bugs out of the way, because there's a lot of people that have been doing this stuff on other MMOs and other games for a long time. They know all the tricks to try. Now these guys are having to patch all those tricks. I haven't been playing it lately. You know, PH, he says, you know, that game is a train wreck. What, I'm still not sure how, where this is going to be in a year, 2 years. It, as long as they keep making improvements, keep bringing players in, come up with ways for, you know, to get this to where your average person knows what this is, what this game even is, like, wow. Yeah. I think at that point, then it may be successful. They can never get your average person to know what New World is. Because you can say World of Warcraft and everybody will be, oh, I've heard that game.
Everybody knows, yeah.
But if you say New World, unless you're in that, into PC games, you'd be like, what? Well, yeah, I don't know what that is.
Unless you're a hardcore gamer, of course.
Yeah. Really. And so they're fighting it, but it's really going to come down to, can they keep ahead of it? They have some dev blogs and things that they've been posting with answers to this.
They obviously can't stay.
That they've had to shut down the economy.
They've done it. And they had to do it pretty recently. It was only a couple of weeks ago.
It was a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They blocked it a couple weeks ago. You know, this is something that I don't know. It'll come and go, but duping coins is a big thing. I think once they get that locked down, gear isn't as much of an issue, you know, because you can kind of look and see if there's things that are abnormally spawning more gear than it's supposed to, things like that.
Yeah.
Still up in the air. Hopefully it does, because I like the idea of having an alternate MMO out there, especially one that doesn't have a subscription fee, just setting the bar for other MMOs so they get rid of their subscription fees.
Well, we've only got time for about one more story here, Brian, and I think we'd be fooling ourselves if we didn't bring up one of the biggest stories of the week. The GTA trilogy is out, the definitive edition, the remaster of a few GTA games, and it is, from all accounts, all reports, all screenshots, all videos, an unmitigated disaster as of right now. Now, I think it is important to note, and I'm not giving Rockstar a pass, but it is important to note that Rockstar was not the developers of this trilogy definitive edition. A third-party studio did this conversion, and it was published under Rockstar. Now, that does not give them a pass, because it's their IPO, or rather
they're accountable.
And they're accountable.
Yeah, they're accountable for how it's produced.
But I saw a bunch of people saying,
you're
going
to hire a company to do it.
I just saw a bunch of posts on social media saying, like, oh, if Rockstar couldn't figure out how to remaster, you know, these three old games, how the hell are they going to make GTA 6? And it's like, well, it's not. Rockstar doesn't outsource the development. Different engines. Yeah. It's not even the same company. Same publisher, but not the same company. It's apparently so bad, Brian, that not only is it almost unplayable, it is unavailable on PC as of right now.
Yeah.
You cannot, they will not even sell you the game. Wink, wink, Cyberpunk 2077.
It's pretty much a repeat. Now, there are some screenshots and things I've seen from people kind of posting what they're seeing. It's some of them, like the faces look way worse than the originals. Like, I think these are rendering issues and bugs that they'll be able to fix, because it's not intended to look like that. They have the assets and the graphics in there to look better. But look at this. I mean, you know, the left is what it looked like before. The right is what it looks like now. I mean, come on.
It looks like speaking of the Nintendo Wii, it looks like a Mii character, right? The little guys that you would make on the Nintendo Wii.
That's their new non-binary character is what it looks like. It is. You can't tell. I mean, it's a round head. Can't even tell what it is. Falcon says it looks like a Wii character. I mean, that's pretty much what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like they went in there and created that.
They had to take it down on PC because they included unintentional files in there as well. So just a lot of little, obviously there were some mistakes, things overlooked.
Look at this guy's arms. Oh Jesus. Yeah. This looks terrible.
He looked better in the original.
Yeah. Well, at least his arm didn't look like it was broken in four different places. And apparently one of the bigger issues of everything is the rain. Apparently the rain is like not translucent and not opaque. So when it's raining in the game, you can't see jack shit. Yeah, it's the whole screen is just covered in these white particles falling down the screen. It's apparently an unmitigated disaster.
They said that players are also using the GTA 3's ghost glitch to make their cars massive. So, I mean, this is a 20-year-old glitch, and it still works in this version.
Yeah, but so I don't want that. That's fine. That was part of the game back then. I'm okay with it. Here's a quick look at all of the various cross comparisons. I'm a big fan of the guy riding the bicycle with his stomach presumably not existing. Baseball bats going through hands, holding pistols backwards.
Look at this, pistols aiming down.
I mean, this guy looks like he has cerebral palsy or something. I mean, it just looks off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this is not good. I was really looking forward to this. I'm not sure I'm interested in it, Brian.
Well, if they get it to where all the graphics issues are fixed.
They're not going to fix the graphic issue. They're not going to fix these. They're going to have to go through and remake the whole freaking game.
Well, PH has pointed out, they AI upscaled these. So they used AI to upscale the graphics and everything. They got to do another pass on some of these things.
I get doing an AI upscale, but you're telling me that nobody ran around the world and was like, oh man, it looks like this guy's arm has been broken in 7 locations.
Well, okay, here's one thing that I wonder if people got a copy of this before it was pulled, because they said part of what was included was unlicensed music.
Yes.
And San Andreas' controversial hot coffee cut content. Because that was something that there was some sort of, I don't know, sexual situation or something in the game you could do, if I remember correctly, with that.
Okay.
And that was cut from the game just because, you know, kids were going in and it was a little more than what they intended. And so that was cut, but it's back in this. So they must have taken an old version, you know, that wasn't patched. And then did that, because this has been removed from the original one. I don't remember, a while ago. It's been years and years and years since they removed that, and it's in there. So they must have pulled like the original source or something silly. And not,
I don't know
why would you not include the latest patches.
I don't know what they did, but from the screenshots and videos and things that I've seen, a game that I was. Brian, let me tell you how much I was looking forward to this. I turned on my Nintendo Switch for the first time in over a year. Update. By the way, I was in the middle of a game. It's been sitting in the dock for a year. So I picked it up and turned the power button on. I was in the middle of playing Pokemon, apparently, last time I played it. Did all my system updates and was like, all right, I'm going to get this game at some point. And then I started seeing the screenshots, invisible bridges, the maps not working, rain making it impossible to play. There just seems like there's so many issues, Brian, that it's not as simple as just patch this. And
listen to this. So PH in chat is saying, Digital Foundry finds that the HD remaster is actually made from the mobile port of the game and not from the original Xbox title. Well, there you go.
Explain.
So they took a shortcut. That's you take a shortcut like that. Oh my goodness. I mean, I wonder if that's going to cause some, if they're going to be sued or something for it.
And here's the thing. While we might go, oh, that's terrible, but you think about it, if you were going to take a game and put it on the Nintendo Switch, because you build your product for the lowest common denominator, what's easier, taking a mobile version of the game or taking a console version of the game and making it run on the Switch? Probably the mobile
obviously
version.
Their mobile version was old because it didn't have the patches and everything.
Yeah, well, the mobile versions of GTA came out on the freaking PSP. There was a whole bunch of mobile.
They know everything they're going to have to patch. I mean, they know what they're going to have to patch. So they can go through all their old patches and kind of redo them on this new version. It's going to take them a while. I just can't imagine them leaving it totally broken like this.
It's too big of a black eye for GTA.
It's such a black eye for them, though. It just looks horrible.
The thing, though, it's not Rockstar doing it. And that's, I'm not giving them a pass, but now it's going to be incumbent on a third-party studio who obviously botched the development to start to.
Yeah.
Fix all of the issues. I don't see it.
Yeah. So, well, who knows? They may turn around and fix it themselves, or who knows?
It's still not available on PC.
Okay.
From what I understand.
Hopefully they. And you can go check. I encourage people to go look, but I would wait. I wonder if the PC version versus like the Switch version, if there's a difference in that. If like the Switch seems to be better versus, and then when they try to upscale to huge resolutions of the PC, if it goes crazy, I just don't know if I want to spend the money and find that out. you know, and have it be a mess.
Nope. Hopefully maybe a cheap, maybe a deep discounted Black Friday deal is the way to get the GTA Definitive Edition. All right.
There's one thing I wanted to mention really quick. So one of our listeners, Tay, he has been working on a video game and they're getting ready to release it in April of 2022. I figure people might be interested in seeing the Steam, but it's called Primal Dominion Aftermath. And it's a single and multiplayer action adventure game set in the era of the 90s, featuring a fully fledged single player or co-op campaign and PvP and PvE game modes. So this is Tay. Some of you probably know him from Discord, but this is a game that he's been working on. I encourage you, if you want to go check it out, you can get into their alpha tests and things like that that they have. You can request access and be in the play test. But I would encourage everybody, go request access to the play test, get in there and see what it's about. It's made under Unreal Engine, and he's been working on it for years, and it's about ready to release here pretty soon. So then that's a very big, it's difficult to get a game to this point. Most people don't who start, and so I wanted to mention it and make sure everybody knew.
Excellent. And there will be a link to it in our show notes on the website, infectionpodcast.com. I did get access to that demo. I have installed it. I just haven't had a chance to
okay, good. Yet. Well, you should let me know if you're going to play it, and then I'll jump on with you.
Okay, excellent.
All right, is there anything else? We did mention, Roblox overtook Activision Blizzard. Mm-hmm. One other thing. Tim Sweeney announced this week, because we don't need to talk about, there's no epic bet going, so we're good on this. Tim Sweeney wants one app store for every platform. And he says, probably in the metaverse. This is something that I've been mentioning. I think that we really should do. Buy the game once, buy it from the publisher or whatever, one store, and then you'd be able to play it on whatever device you want. And I think with the Xbox getting where it's at, I think that's becoming more and more and more of a possibility that you buy it. And Microsoft is more doing it because you buy it, you can play it on PC or you can play it on Xbox. Yeah. You can't do that on other things. I think they're going to set the standard, and places like Epic in their game store, they'll just sell access to something that gives you on Microsoft, and then you can play it on whatever you want. I see this. I think this is the way it needs to go, because as you said with Skyrim or with other games, you own five copies of them eventually on certain games. And because they're not really being changed. I hope that this happens. I know people don't, kind of roll their eyes, but I think that this is something that should happen, to where if you're buying a game, why are you buying it for the device you're going to play it on? Do you buy a DVD for the device you could do? There are different quality levels, right? But you own the license to that film. You can put it on, you could copy it to your computer. You can do all kinds of things with it nowadays. They have it to where you buy it, comes with a code, you can stream it. I just think that's the way that video games need to go as well.
PH bring up an interesting point. He says publishers will lose money. That's not happening. That's, I'm sure, a big.
Do you think Microsoft cares? They have this subscription service. I think that they're going to get away from the individual game sales and just go to a Netflix. Because how many people go out and buy DVDs anymore?
I mean, I always see them in Walmart. Blu-rays. The 90 they're there. Bin. Yeah.
Yeah, who owns them? I mean, who's buying them and not streaming all their content? I just think that this is going to be an old thing anyways.
I've got the weirdest story I got to say this before we get out of here. I went to, I don't know if this, they have this all around the country. They have, you ever heard of Ollie's?
I've heard store? Of it, yeah.
Yeah, it's one of these places where they buy closeout deals and stuff like that. They just buy a bulk stuff. They're running a special on something I needed. So I went there and bought some of it. The lady in front of me was buying a DVD player. And I was like, what in the hell? Not a Blu-ray player, not an HD DVD player, a standard DVD player. And I was like, why the hell would you be buying a DVD player in 2021? Not a Blu-ray player,
buy a Blu-ray player that plays DVDs as well.
I was dumbfounded. I was like, who in the hell would be buying a brand new DVD player?
You want to know what's really hard to get?
It was a Sony. It wasn't like this was some
VHS
piece of crap.
Tape players. Record players, those things are hard to get nowadays. Getting a VHS player is hard.
I fortunately have a VHS DVD combo that allows me to even convert from VHS to digital.
I know. I had one and I Panasonic. Donated it. And then a year later I needed it for something. I was like, oh, I shouldn't have donated that, because I didn't realize that they were going to be impossible to find.
Yeah. PH, I'll pull it out in the post show.
Yeah. You could record from VHS to a DVD. I could do that on mine. Yours did that?
I think so. We'll look at it.
Burner too?
We'll look at it in the
end. Yeah, it was ridiculous.
All right.
Hey, PH, I'm sorry we didn't get to the Unity news. We'll get to that next week. But there's some more stuff. We got a lot of stuff we'll cover next week. We got probably sheet of notes.
All right, Brian, let's get out of here.
All right. If you want to find me at Brian Aldridge on Gavin Parler, my blog, biteoftech.com. But most importantly, go to our website, infectionpodcast.com. Go to the upper right-hand side. Join our server on Discord. If there's a topic you think we're missing, maybe a game that's being released that you think we've missed, I encourage you to go and submit topics to the news channel. We also have on there various ways that you can play on our ARC server. We have a politics, we have a work health and all kinds of different places in on our server that you can go and check out. If you go to the right hand side, we also have our video forms of the podcast. Those do show live and after the fact as recorded. So Twitch, YouTube, BitChute, and DLive. If you want to watch those during the show, you can. Also, the audio forms are not live during the show, but you can watch them after they're uploaded. And if you do that, I encourage you to go to the show notes and follow along, because we've got a lot of links and a lot of things that we refer to throughout the show, and it'll really enhance your listening experience. If you do want to support us, I encourage you to go to the top where it says support, or go to infectionpodcast.com/support, where we've got Prime Gaming Subs, Humble Bundle, Amazon Prime, or Amazon, and subscribe star, a lot of ways that you can support the show. And hopefully there will be a convention that doesn't have a ton of rules that you can just go to and actually participate.
Yeah, soon. InfectionCon coming soon.
Yeah, InfectionCon in Vegas, 2022. Yeah,
it'll come just as soon as Epic Games Store does things like in have a shopping cart and things of that nature. So it'll be right around. It'll be right around.
Or you can
it'll
add, right, add more than one game to the cart.
Yeah, it'll be right around the corner, I promise. All right, Brian, as always, thank you very much, my friend, and we'll catch up with you next week. Before we get out of here, I do want to thank our friend UGX Vibe for hitting us up with the 45-month resubscription here on Twitch. Thank you very much, sir. It is greatly appreciated. All right, folks, that's going to do it. If you want to check out some of my political antics, you can download the Wilmington's Morning News podcast or head on over to my website, nickcraig.com. That's going to do it for another episode of Infection. If you miss any portion of the show, head on over to our website, infectionpodcast.com, where you can get show notes, links, videos, all that fun stuff. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time.